Hey there, this is Adam Zekas with Tom Kissingberry from the IDP Read and React IDP podcast right here at DLF. Say hello, Tom. It's you, chap. Golly, good gosh. Here I am. Great. Anyway, if you're interested in getting started with IDP and Dynasty Leagues or looking for a way to dominate your IDP leagues, then our show is for you. Isn't that right, Tom? Ah, yes, my good man. And of course, I bring the coveted data and insight that can only come from a monarch-loving, tea-slurping, crumpet muncher such as myself. Yep, very, very cool, Tom. Very cool. Well, you can find our podcast right here in the DLF family of podcast feed on DynastyFootball.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at The Read and React.
Yeah. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another TRADE. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem, making all these trades up, got me singing got em, but I've been paid up. I even started from the bottom, see I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. What it cost him, just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked. Not to say I'm a jerk, but I'm an addict. It's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict. The pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict.
Russell Rocky.
Other names. Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Sticky Z, and I'm trying to have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Session 258 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. A member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. We are here and ready to go. I'm ready. I'm still ready for the draft, and it's not the draft time. I am ready for Aaron Rodgers and for Lamar Jackson to get this crap over with, and that hasn't happened yet. I am ready for T. Higgins jerseys with just the number 5 be ready and in pristine auctions so I can replace this freaking thing and I can stop staring at it every time I record, though I do still have all of these cards and I'm not going to replace all those because that was all way more expensive than just the jersey. But, I mean, we're going to move on. We're going to move on. I'm dwelling on the negative and I don't want to do that because I get to say Sticky Z all the time, which is always exciting when I get to talk to, you know what? I'm not going to say your real name. If you want to say it, you can. That's fine. I'm just going to keep calling you Sticky Z. But on that note, why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's kind of unfortunate that I go by Sticky Z in a lot of circles, but my Twitter handle is Adam TZ. It's Adam TZ. Well, I should change it. Maybe I should just bite the bullet, but I haven't changed my profile picture since I joined DLF, which was like 2013 or 14. So I've had the same profile picture with my DLF logo in it, with one of the best rappers alive, on there, since the beginning of basically like my time as a Dynasty player and a Dynasty analyst, writer, talker person. So that kind of solves that. I've been playing fantasy probably about 5 years before that. I actually played fantasy more before I even followed NFL really much. I just didn't really follow sports when I was a kid. My dad was super into golf. You know, I think a lot of people get it from their family. And I didn't really do that until I got to college. And everyone was like, football, 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 football. And I kind of just fell in love with the game. And honestly, that love of the game, you know, I'm a bit of a nerd. I'm not a bit of a nerd. I'm a mega huge nerd. That kind of, you know, I love the stats aspect of it. So that's how I got to fantasy. And then, you know, of course, Dynasty is the best way to play fantasy football in my mind. I mean, I don't know why you'd really want to take other ways over it. And then I kind of led the IDP side of things for DLF for a while, probably about 3 years. And then I kind of stepped away a little bit, focused on the fam and some other avenues. Just haven't had as much free time to talk about football as much as I like, of course, as it goes. But you know, I'm going to try to get back into it whenever I can. And it's still like, I'm still in like 25 plus leagues, still trying to grind out championships and, keep an eye on all the rookies and all the fun stuff of Dynasty for sure.
Have either of you guys seen the movie Being John Malkovich?
It's been a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while, but I saw
it. Yeah, where Cusack ends up in that room where it's just everyone has Malkovich's face and all that Malkovich, 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 Malkovich. I'm picturing that, but football, 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 football. Yeah.
That's how it was. It was like, I don't really know what's going on, but, you know, I mean, I went to UCF, which isn't a crazy football school. It's not like going to, you know, Alabama, Ohio State or something like that, but they were decent over some of the years in there. FSU was decent as well, so, you know, those are the Winston years, and they had some championships in there, so it was just like so much. That's all people cared about, you know. So I just fell in love with it that way, and I just love the game so much. I mean, my favorite thing about it is every single part of the game is a battle. Like from the macro level, you know, every offensive coordinator versus defensive coordinator, from every corner versus wide receiver, every D lineman versus O lineman, centers versus nose tackles, and stuff like that. Every single part of it is a battle in itself, and I just love that aspect of it. You can break it down into such small levels, and it's all the GMs versus all the other GMs trying to build the special team, and that's just what I love about it.
You have a great choice in rooting interest as well.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Like, I grew up in South Florida, and then I didn't have a team, really. I didn't want to be a Dolphins fan, and I just was like, everyone's like, what's your team? What's your team? I happened to pick the Donovan McNabb, Brian Westbrook, kind of the end of the Brian Dawkins days, but I was like, that team's awesome. They're cool. They're doing cool things, and I just picked the Eagles, and it just so happened to stick, and I lived in Philly for like about 5 or 6 years, so it just coincidentally, it's all worked out really well, and culminated in their one Super Bowl win. So, you know, I'll take some credit for that.
Should have been a second one.
I know. But, you know, what are you gonna do?
Do you want me to put it all in place? Nice back, and you guys can commit.
Yeah, we'll just talk. It's been the Eagles podcast for the rest of the night.
Talk about some James Bradbury.
All right, so I mean, do you want to talk about the podcast you do?
Yeah, sure. I mean, maybe one day it'll be revitalized. I was doing the Read and React with DLF. My co-host Tom Kissingberry is probably one of the best IDP from a statistical metrics analysis standpoint that's out there. Maybe if you don't follow him and you play defensive IDP, which is individual defensive players, if you don't know, if you play that, you should definitely follow him. Even though it's not, you know, maybe his main focus as much as it was, he's still putting out incredible threads about really his big thing is like breaking the thoughts of what people kind of say. If you have a really good offense, you're going to have a good defense because they're going to score a lot and the defense is going to be on the field a lot, or some of the trends that people just assume. And he's really good at looking at the data, finding correlations and seeing what's true and what's not true. And he puts out a yearly defensive breakdown for every single team, which like it blows my mind that like someone in the NFL hasn't picked up on it, because he's breaking down every team, what schemes they're using, you know, what players are getting snaps and kind of how they deploy their defensive players. And it's incredible. So, you know, I did a podcast with him. We probably did it for about 3 years, maybe. And it's kind of on hiatus now, I guess I can say, but you know, one day it'll be back. So definitely give that a follow too. And if you play IDP, when we started, it was a little bit smaller, you know, there wasn't as many people playing IDP, and it's really expanded a lot, which I love. There's a lot of incredible people that work at DLF, and other sites as well that are just really good. PFF's really good, got some really good people there. You know, IDP guys is awesome. And it's sort of one of those things where it's like the scoring and the settings and all those things are kind of still being ironed out for like a standard, which makes it really fun because people can kind of do what they want and do how they feel and take it in their own way, which is cool still, versus being like, you know, half PPR, tight end premium, super flex. You know, if you're breaking away from some of those things. I'm big on unique leagues. I have a lot of leagues that we do crazy stuff. I have a league where, you know, we roster 100 players. I have a league that's based on Monopoly. I have a league that's 22 flex starters. I have some crazy leagues, and that's what makes it fun for me is breaking away from those standard norms and doing something a little different to get the brain working.
And every couple of episodes, you will hear not Tom's wonderful British accent.
Oh, yes.
I love that, by the way.
I keep forgetting that I made that. I was like driving to pick up dinner, and I was like, you know what? This is really funny to me just to do this. And I'm surprised that it's still.
What was so funny was Adam sends it to me, and he's like, look, I don't know if this is what you guys are looking for, but like, it was funny to me. And I listened to it. And I'm just like, this is absolutely what I'm looking for. Thank yeah. you. Because that I'm the only fabulous. One that does something stupid. And, that, you know, thank mm-hmm. you. This is funny. This is entertaining. This is what podcasting or anything is supposed to be. So, yes, thank you for having a sense of humor. I appreciate it.
Well, it's cool that we're like on the, you know, we're not ESPN. You know, there's not millions and millions of dollars behind, you know, us, you know, pushing us to be like, you got to be 100% all the time. So still having fun with it, I think, is huge. And I love making stupid videos as a kid and stupid little scripts and stuff. And, you know, it's a good time.
So transitioning and speaking of doing stupid things, the Jets are back in the news. So the Jets signed free agent wide receiver Mecole Hardman. Why? Okay, so I get it. You need bodies. I get it. I don't know. Like, everything before has been like, they're doing this for Rodgers. They bring in Alan Lazard for Rodgers, and then they bring in Alan Lazard version 2 for Rodgers? All I could say is this. I mean, this isn't news. Like, this is, it doesn't really, really matter for the Jets or for Mecole Hardman. I just, like, why? Why? Like, why? This is why it's making it more frustrating. Like, I just want Rodgers to say yes or no already. Like, yeah. for them, like, to make the trade already, because, like, I get that this doesn't change anything, but this is, like, the first thing they've done in a while that wasn't like, oh, this is them trying to go get Rodgers. Because, like, if you're bringing in talented wide receivers, you're bringing in the guys he likes, Mecole Hardman might fit into one of those categories. I'm not sure which, if he does, but I needed more things.
I think it's interesting from him. Yeah, like from his perspective too, I'm like, don't you think you could go to like a better offense? We get more looks, go to the Bears, go somewhere that's going to give you more opportunity. You know, I think he's kind of a little down the depth chart. I mean, it's good that they traded Elijah Moore. So that definitely makes it a little easier. And maybe they did kind of want a bit of a stronger third guy, but they still have Corey Davis. You know, they still got, yeah, for sure. That's true. Right. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a different quarterback. You know, maybe they're just, even though I don't know if they were said they're out on Lamar, but maybe it's, hey, you know, we don't really care. You know, Rodgers, if you don't want to deal, well, I guess if it's Green Bay. The whole Green Bay Jets, you know, who has leverage? It's a really fun argument and something that you can apply to, you know, regular trading too, is like, especially if you're in a contract salary league where there's like other things going on besides just rostering a player forever. It's like, you know, it's who has leverage here to move Rodgers. I mean, Green Bay is probably pretty desperate, and the Jets really can take their time. So it's definitely a pretty interesting situation.
And I'm ready for it to be over. Yes.
It's going to take a while, I think. So
we are at the point where I ask our guests, what do you want to do first, trade addicts trades or listener questions?
Russ,
what?
Do we do the interview?
No, crap. This is the first time Adam's been on the show, isn't it? Like,
I was like, I mean, I know we talk, he kind of, you know, Adam kind of talked a lot about what he does, but I don't think we did the interview. I'm like, did I miss it?
I've talked to Adam plenty of times. What do you mean he's never been on the show? He's never been on the show before. That's right.
That's true. Okay. I haven't.
Well, you already talked about how long you've played Fantasy and Dynasty. So what are some of the best and worst trades? Man, like, I mean, yours goes back. So hopefully you got some good ones.
Oh, man. I am a very interesting trader. I'm happy to take a loss, you know, in terms of like ADP calculator value. I'll take a loss at times, just something I feel like with the gut. I'm also usually really easy to negotiate with. You send me something that seems fair value on face and something that works for me, I'll snap accept. Like I'm too, you know, I got a ton of leagues. I play with a lot of the same people. It's been a long time since I've done like the back and forth. Hey, you add a third. Oh, I'll add, you know, Mecole Hardman. You know, it's been a long time since I've had one of those types of negotiations. I traded away Allen Robinson for,
you lost.
This was a long time ago. This was in like, 2012. But it was like the pick that became Diggs, which was like ended up being like a fourth pick, and DeAndre Hopkins at the time. And this is when he was still, you know, getting good numbers in Houston. So that was probably one of the better trades I've made. I've made so many bad trades though. I mean, I don't go back and look. That's
never falling. Go back.
Yeah, you can't never go back and look. If your process is good and you're able to kind of distill out, you know, why did I make this trade, and you know, they're not all going to work out. Players get hurt, players underperform. Just example, like last year, like I was all in on Juju. Juju, I was like, I'm going to get Juju Smith-Schuster in every league. It's going to be great. Oh, it does actually remind me of a good one. So I don't know what year this was, 2013 maybe. Mark Ingram was supposed to be a free agent for the Saints. And I was like, okay, Kiri Robinson is going to be the guy. This was early on in my career. Wow. I'm like, maybe 2010. I'm like, Kiri Robinson is the guy. He's going to get all the snap. Their offense was humming. And, you know, finally he was going to be on his way. It's going to be awesome. I think I added him in. At that time, I was only in like 15 leagues. I added him in every single league. Third, seconds. People caught on eventually and were like, oh, yeah, now you got to pay me a second to get this guy. And that ended up being absolutely – Mark Ingram re-signed, and Kiri Robinson did absolutely nothing. So I would say that's probably my worst worst play that I ever made. But it was fun. It was fun at the same time.
That's – is it ever really a bad trade if you have fun anyway?
So true. I mean, I've had I didn't collect them, but somebody else collected all third-round picks in a league once, and I traded for them. And I made the entire third round in an IDP league, a 16-team IDP league. So I made 16 picks back-to-back-to-back-to-back, and that was really fun. So, that's yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, fun is the best. Fun is what we're here for, and that's kind of why I'm – you know, it's my leagues aren't – you know, I'm not going to play in a $500 league just because fantasy is a fickle beast. I'll play in $15-$25 leagues and spend the same amount of money and just have fun all the way down.
Yes. So. My most expensive league is $42.
42. Yeah. 50 is my limit. If it's over, if I see 50, I'm like, nah, can't do it. And like, I don't, if you're playing with the right people and you've got good owners, I don't think it really lowers like the competitiveness.
Yeah.
Just the tiers a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
those high stakes leagues are not,
I could never do it because my deal is trading. My deal is being silly about it. But like, if hundreds of dollars were on the line,
yeah,
I'd be paralyzed. I would not be able to do anything. Like, do I give away my third to get this guy second? I don't know. Should I do that? Like, but that's how frozen I would be. Like, yeah, the dumbest thing in the world, and I would just paralyzed.
You got a lot of, then it's like return on investment. I mean, how it's so like, am I going to ever want to rebuild because I'm spending all this money to maybe make it back in the future? You know, it adds a lot of, you know, obviously like it goes, you know, if you're, you can afford it, then like if 500 is your 25, then, you know, go to town. But I'd say for most people, you know, when I see those like $1,000 leagues, redraft leagues, I'm like, this is nuts. Like, who's doing this? That's just asking for it.
All right. Just because my brain can't wrap around that. What is the guiding principle you take with you, whether you are offering or evaluating trades?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll double check. I'll do like sanity checks on whether it's, you know, I'll use calculator just to double check and make sure I'm not like going crazy. I'll check DLF, KTC. There's like a great Superflex ADP site called like Bulletproof, I think, that I just recently found, and they just pull super ADP. That site's really cool to see like players next to each other. But if it works for me, I'll just hit accept or hit decline. You know, if it's, like I said before, I'm not somebody who's going to go back and forth 1,000 times and, you know, try to eke out every value. And, you know, obviously there's people who do really well doing that. You know, maybe the people I play with, it doesn't work as well. I think they kind of, you know, they're hip to the game. But some people love that. I mean, some people love the, you know, we're going to spend 3 weeks negotiating this trade and we're going to make something happen. So I would say that's it for me. Like, if it works for me, it's good value. You know, I'm always trying to acquire players that are a little bit, you know, undervalued. I'm always like, it's the trends. It's like, how much value am I going to get out of this guy? You know, maybe like Bijan Robinson's a good example. Like, is he at the top of his value already? Like, is he's already like probably RB1, RB2 in some startups? Like, yeah, I mean, he's a great play. He's going to be good, but if you trade for that pick and you ever want to trade him in the future, you're going to be probably taking a bit of a loss over time. So, you know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for guys who have flipped completely the other way. And, you know, maybe that's Joe Mixon, you know, this run through. I mean, obviously he's a bit older than, you know, obviously all players get older, but, you know, it's like his hype has flipped completely the other way, where he's like in the 20s and 30s and of RB ranks, position ranks. So, you know, that's kind of how I kind of look at it.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I got stuck at the beginning where you're just like, you know, sometimes, you know, if it just feels good, I hit yes. And there's a trade we're going to talk about a little later where I literally didn't finish reading. Like, I read it twice. And I'm like, I don't understand what the hell I'm looking at. Well, you know what? I like the guys I'm getting, and I don't feel crazy about what I'm giving away, except...
For sure. I think people, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm playing for a long time. I've seen, you know, multiple trends come and go. You know, I think we're in a definitely, I think we're kind of coming out of it a little bit where people aren't as crazy, youth crazy as they were in the last 5 or 6 years. When I first started, that was not a thing. You know, that kind of been brought along with a couple different major trends in the game. I think we're kind of maybe seeing people come out of that a little bit as players do start to play a little bit longer. We're seeing that kind of happen, especially quarterbacks. Obviously, we know tight ends and wide receivers being productive a little bit longer. Running backs still, you know, obviously fall off. But so, you know, I've kind of just not gotten pulled into the pick hype. You know, eventually you need to score points. Eventually you want to win your league. Eventually you want to do well, not just look at a sexy roster. So that's kind of my part of my principle.
You had me too. To the end. All right, Rocky, we good to go? Like, we can move on now?
I'll allow it, yes.
All right, Adam, what do you want to do next? Do you want to do trades or do you want to do listener questions?
Let's do the trades.
Excellent. TradeAddicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for what has turned into our most active league, TradeAddicts 1, who, like, last season barely made a trade. And then ever since, like, the MFL rollover, it's been going nuts and I love it.
Yeah.
The first one we have is a doozy, and a guy you actually just mentioned. The first trade we have is a 24 and 25 first for Joe Mixon, the 111, 206, and a 24 second. What do you think about that, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that it's a lead that is, you know, established. You know the 2025 first is going to be there, which is good. But... Yeah, I'd probably lean towards the two firsts here. I think that gives you a little bit of, you know, ammo going into the future. While I know I said I like Joe Mixon, I think the other parts of it kind of make it a little less enticing. Especially that 111 in this draft is kind of an icky part of the draft for me. You kind of definitely taking a player that you feel a little more strongly than others there. So I'd be looking at the two future firsts here.
Okay. I was just going to say, I think I'm with Adam. Joe Mixon is someone I think kind of everybody wants to get out of at this point. And you can't get a lot of value for him. And I agree with him, though, that 111 range, it's take your pick on probably a wide receiver or a day two running back there. And I'm just, if I'm getting the 111, I'd probably be looking to trade back. Like Adam said, it's kind of like you don't want to be the one at the beginning of that kind of tier. You want to be in the early second, kind of getting a similar player there for a cheaper price. So, and maybe picking something up. And I'm not big on 25 firsts, as I've said before, but I think I still want the two firsts just because the other pieces are. Really, all the pieces are kind of meh.
Yeah, like, I think the value is okay, more or less. Like, I don't think Joe Mixon should be worth a first at this point. He can absolutely prove us wrong this season. But coming off of last year, he just didn't look good, except for one game. Like, I have to, like, he saved all of his energy and all of his talent up for one game, scored 50 fantasy points, and then called it a season. So he still averaged like as a top 15 running back. But like, so the 111 and the 206 is probably worth a 24 first. Like, cause usually that's what you say when you want to trade out of this year into next year, give me a current second and a future first and it's a deal. Like, so I feel like that works. So Joe Mixon and a 24 second for 25 first. I mean, like, that's not bad. And again, there's a chance we're proven wrong on this whole death of Joe Mixon's talent. Because that offense is good enough. So I am with you guys where I want the picks, but I get it. So if you're a Joe Mixon believer, and if you do like, honestly, I'm the other way. I think I take that 111, 206, and a 24 second, see if I can get up to the 107, 108. Like, I've been, you know, most years we say in one of these kind of classes, trade down into the second, trade down, which is absolutely right. But I like this top tier of players so much. Like, I want to walk away with either JSN, Gibbs, or Addison in like every single league, and I need to then get a couple of Charbonnet. I need Tank Bigsby and Tank Dell on every single team because their name's Tank. There's two of them in one draft. Like there's a lot of stuff going on in this draft, but I do find myself trading up a lot more than trading down this year. But I think the value's fine, but I think there's things I'd rather do, try and do with those picks. Maybe that's all they could get. Who knows? You know. But if I am the Mixon owner, I'm happy that I see ones in front of whatever I'm getting.
That's a really good point. I mean, he's going to be 27 when the season starts, and even if he is productive,
value's screwed.
Yeah. It's rough.
All right, the next one we have is Travis Etienne and the 307 for DeAndre Swift and the 202.
That one's actually pretty tough.
I could tell you there is a right answer to this one.
Okay. Hopefully it's the Travis Etienne side, because I'm gonna stick with that one, I think.
No, that's the wrong answer.
Well, that's why I'm here. I've just never really been a huge fan of Swift. Obviously, he's had a good season under his belt. It's just I follow Travis Etienne since college days. He's such a dynamic player. They're gonna have such a good offense. Should have such a good offense. I'm worried there with him. He's definitely someone I've probably been looking to sell in leagues because I know Doug Peterson pretty well, and I know that he wants to do a committee really badly, and maybe it hasn't come to full fruition yet. Especially with them like getting rid of James Robinson, but. I'm a little worried about Etienne, but I feel more comfortable with his value than Swift. And the 202 definitely is nice. You're going to get a player that, like we just talked about, you know, moving down a little bit into that area. But that whoever that is still probably going to be a bit of a dart throw.
Yeah, and these are one of these times you're forgetting that you're muted, Rocky.
We knew it was going to happen.
I've been watching you talk, and we're looking at that little logo with the X on it, just waiting for it.
I'm on the correct side, Russ, because I think I'd rather have Swift in the pick. I can see a world where, in the not too distant future, Etienne is Swift. Like, he's not getting as much work as we like, but he's doing good out of the passing game. He has boom weeks, so I'll take the pick and. I know he was more than that last year, but I could definitely see a scenario where they draft another guy, maybe a day two or even like a round four guy that gets some of the rushing workload, or even next year maybe it happens. But I've kind of like you said, you've never been a big fan of Swift. I've never been a big fan of Etienne. I came around a little bit last year because he did produce, but I have concerns about him also. So I think I'd rather take Swift in the higher pick.
Yeah, like I talked about before, is I like players that other people don't like. So I like David Montgomery last year a ton. Like I was adding him everywhere. So, you know, him being with Swift that was a head scratcher for me.
Definitely concerned, yeah.
The fact that they got rid of him and the fact that he went to Detroit was like, oh, that's interesting. I guess they're probably going to use him as more of like a grinder type back. But I mean, I'm surprised because, you know, he's definitely has more agility than, you know, that kind of archetype. So, that's kind of my hesitation with Swift a little bit. Whereas as of right now, of course, I think the Jags definitely continue to add people, and they used I want to say Jahasty McCall, but that's not right. Michael Hasty.
Now he will forever be known as Jahasty.
I'm so bad at some player names and dyslexia and stuff like that. But they used it more than I was expected to. So it definitely shows they're probably going to add somebody. But as of right now, they haven't done that yet.
And they also do just need bodies. I think they have like two running backs on roster. So yeah, they will. Okay. So clearly by my lead into this saying there is a right answer, I did this trade. I got the Swift side and I got ETN out of a trade a week or two ago. And this was a league where I was rebuilding and then there was a trade that fell on my doorstep and I'm just like, all right, this pushes me a little towards competing, but I feel like I need to take it anyway. So I took it. So I'm like, all right. And then ETN was part of that deal. And I'm like, my team isn't good enough. I need more value on my team. And there is a world where ETN and Swift aren't that different. Like if this were a couple of months ago, like if this was before last season, Swift was where we had ETN. And I'm not saying ETN is going to have a Swift-esque season, but like, if he doesn't crush it with the running backs we have coming in and then the running backs we have coming in next year, it might be. Like, so bump me up that round and a half. Give me a player I like, and I'm thrilled that his price is finally decent as opposed to ridiculously high.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he is not an every down back. Get over it. Like, let's start pricing him as pass catcher plus, which what he is, you know. And honestly, I've been trying to trade him anyway because he's a running back and I don't need one right now. I don't need anything right now. So I've just been gaining as much value as possible. And like I said before, trying to trade up. I think I have the 109. So my goal is to get as many of those early seconds and things like that that I can use to push myself forward. So like I said, like I tiered down a little on purpose, and just that round and a half to me was absolutely worth the player swap. Just saying. Next trade we have. I find this so interesting how your boy, Rashad yeah. Penny, who weirdly got like zero money to join the team, but still is a member of the Eagles, and his value hasn't gone anywhere, even though everyone was just like, when Penny's healthy, he's great. When Penny's healthy, he's great. And he showed it and got away from Kenneth Walker and went to a team that doesn't have even, not Kenneth Walker, Chris Carson doesn't have, oh yeah, Miles Sanders. Like, they have Kenneth Gainwell. But this trade is Evan Engram for Rashad Penny and Trey McBride. Like, I get it. I don't want to put too much respect on Rashad Penny's name because I'm a bitter ex-Seahawks fan who said that was a god-awful draft pick. But when he's healthy, he's really good. So, yeah, this no real comparison in what I'm about to say whatsoever, but like A.J. Brown in Tennessee was really, really good whenever he was healthy, but he kept missing 3-4 games a season. Of like, I can't put him into the upper echelon where he deserves to be until we don't miss multiple games, multiple parts of a season because of soft tissue injuries. He changes towns and then he does it. And I mean, yeah. Penny just changed towns to the same town where A.J. Brown did not have a soft tissue injury, just saying. Like, so clearly, one-to-one really? Correlation.
Yeah.
Rashad Penny will not
get hurt.
And he's going to be great. So clearly cool, this has that. To be the Rashad Penny side. Actually, I mean, I'm into Evan Engram, even if it's on the tag. I love that offense. He, like, it's really funny. Like, well, first of all, that offense did just get better as time went on. But, like, for the first half the season, I'm passing to no one but Christian Kirk. For the next quarter of the season, I'm passing to no one but Zay Jones. And then for the last quarter, I'm passing to no one but Evan Engram. And we have a year on the books with Evan Engram there, and I know Calvin Ridley's going to be there, and he's going to catch every single target possible and score them all for touchdowns. But especially in a tight end premium league, I do want Evan Engram, though I do really still like Trey McBride. I would easily give up those two pieces to go get Evan Engram, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same side as you. I mean, I want Rashad Penny to be really good. I just kind of, you know, considering looking at this as like a complete vacuum neutral, I definitely feel better about Evan Engram producing over the season versus Rashad Penny. You know, I mean, I know you don't follow Philly sports history very much because we have a lot of players who get injured a lot.
Oh, yeah.
We've had many seasons.
I spin narrative to what makes me sound.
Makes you feel good. Makes me happy. Yeah, that's what we do. That's being human. But we've had many seasons of, like, multiple, like, leading the league in man games lost. And, yeah, so, I mean, I feel squarely on the Evan Engram side. I think, you know, obviously you get Rashad Penny, you get Trey McBride, maybe there's some value gain there going forward. Maybe you can move Penny if he, you know, has a good first 3 weeks and stays healthy through that. And his gangbusters. I like Kenneth Gainwell. I think he's like exactly what the offense needs is a Kenneth Gainwell. I think he adds such a good dimension. I think he's gonna be pretty good. So I don't know how much Rashad Penny's gonna play, and I don't think the injury is gonna matter too much. So I'm on the Evan Engram side here easily.
I'm with you both. It's closer to me, I think, than it is for you two, mostly because I don't really know what to expect out of Evan Ingram this year because of what you said, because of the Ridley thing. I do think he's going to get a lot less volume. I mean, a lot less, but less volume with Ridley added to the offense. Plus Kirk, plus Zay Jones is still there. So I don't think we can expect a repeat of last year, but I also think it's very possible the Eagles draft a day two, assuming they don't draft a day one running back, that they could draft a day two running
There's
back.
There's just so many of them
yeah,
in this draft.
There's good ones, too. I mean, always NFL-wise. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be, like, you know, fantasy studs, but there's a lot NFL. Yeah.
And I love the idea of Penny a lot, too. I love it as an Eagles fan, like a real-life signing. I think it's a great move if he stays healthy. He'd fit perfectly there, and he could have a decent fantasy season, but I don't think he's going to be the only addition. I really think they're going to draft somebody on day one or day two. So until we get past the draft, I'm not willing to kind of assign any extra value to Rashad Penny, because I mentioned this when we talked about him signing. It's certainly possible he doesn't even make the team.
Oh, yeah. 1.5 million with
600,000 guaranteed. Yeah. Like yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, please, I'll take $600,000 for no reason. But yes, that is absolutely a cuttable contract in the NFL. Without.
Yeah. I think chances are he does make the team, you know, because he is a good player and they have him super cheap. But it's not out of the realm of possibility.
All right, next and last trade for TA1 we have is Marquise Brown and the 404 for Tyler Lockett and the 206.
not like going crazy to add players I don't love, but I'll take Marquise Brown. Even though the 206, I think a player that's at a much different point in their career, versus, you know, Tyler Lockett, who I think is definitely on the downswing for sure.
You picked the wrong side again, Adam.
That's okay. That's what I'm here for. I have no problems with that.
Keep telling yourself that it's okay.
Well, I mean, come on. If we're all here, we're just like, yeah, you know, I agree with you. That's not as compelling.
Well, it's not compelling, but at least makes us feel better. Like, that's what you're supposed to be here, to make us feel better about ourselves. That's the real job of the guest.
I'm here for the viewers.
Yeah, I don't even know, man. Like, I stared at this for a while. I'm like, oh, Rocky traded away Hollywood.
Yeah. I'm not, like, super stoked for either player, really, so.
And I have a ton of Hollywood shares.
Yeah.
But yeah,
like, the only, like, this is rough because it's something you can't say because you could say it for everyone. It's what you just said. If the Seahawks don't draft a wide receiver, this is going to be great for you because Tyler Lockett will outscore Hollywood Brown, even though Hollywood is very good, because there's going to be at least a quarter to a half of a season without Kyler Murray, not to mention a new offense and all of that. So I love the move. And again, you're getting a nice bump in draft pick, which is always very, even if you're not going to draft that pick, is very useful, you know, from now until like 3 days after the draft when we have our rookie drafts, because we have no patience. Sure. Yeah. So I like this for both. Like, I think this is a very good trade because Marquise Brown is good, will continue to be good. Tyler Lockett is good. That pick is good. And if you want to score those points, I think Tyler Lockett still gives you those points. But also, if you've seen the wide receivers that the Seahawks have drafted outside of DK Metcalf, it has not gone well. So it doesn't even really matter if they draft one.
Yeah, and you basically said my exact thinking is he had sent me an offer. I don't even remember what the original offer was for Hollywood, and I countered with this. And that was basically what I was thinking. I'd get similar, if not better, production for this year and get a pick on top of it. I actually just threw the 404 in. I don't think I was in his original offer just to make it look like a two for two. Yeah, that too. But it's like, oh, yeah, you're getting a pick too on top of Hollywood. That's basically what it was. So, but yeah, and 206, I don't expect anything amazing, but maybe I can get another old point score for it or else, you know, maybe a semi-interesting running back or tight end or something there. So, yeah. And like I said, I expect, and my team is a contender. It was a contender last year. I expect it to be a contender again this year in TA1. So it's older points, but it's probably more points. Like you said, if they don't draft a significant receiver. And even if they do, he might bust. So.
All right. I need a cleansing moment. I need...
Sleeper, trade of the week. Sleeper, trade of the week. We're we're gonna talk about a straight addicts trade, and it's sponsored by the Sleeper app.
Wow, that's awesome.
And everything in the world is perfect again.
That is really cool. I wasn't expecting that, to be honest. I almost got up and started skanking here in my
I kind of was. Thank you, Zachary, for that, as always. Our sleeper trade of the week comes from Trade Addicts 3, where this was a big boy trade, and it made me sad because I wanted some of this. Ken Walker and Drake London for the 104, 111, and a 24 first. I need to say this again for the pure reason of, like, I'm not the biggest Ken Walker fan, but he's still a very important fantasy asset. So, like, this was a Ken Walker and Drake London for the 104, 111, and a 24 first. Like, that is a fantasy football trade.
It's definitely a big boy trade. Yep. Well, I mean, I know which side I would like. I'm definitely taking the players. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. Very fun. But I'm taking the players here.
I think you have to take the players. It's like a first and a half for each guy, and one of them's the 111. And both of those guys are easily worth more than a first right now. Both are young. Ken Walker put up points in the second half of last season. Drake London, I'm still not entirely sold, but he has a lot of value, and he did get a lot more targets down the stretch. If Desmond Ridder's quarterback, I'm not thrilled, but I mean he did get those targets and some PPR points with Ridder, but I don't love that. That was without Pitts also. So,
and London was the first wide receiver taken last year, I believe.
Yes.
So it's like, why go for taking another shot? Maybe you're going to get a quarterback in 104. Maybe you could get lucky. Maybe you take, Richardson and you know, maybe that pops off for you, or you're taking JSN there. You
take Richardson and he's a horrible passer.
Right. But I just mean, like,
and then you wait 2 years and he turns into Josh Allen, right? That's or Jalen Hurts.
But I already know right now Drake London was the first pick in the draft, right? So, I mean, obviously, 104, you could maybe JSN goes, obviously, he isn't going to be the first wide receiver taken, but I already know Drake London was the first wide receiver taken. So I feel like that's kind of better than at least 104 on its own. And then Walker being, I think he's like RB4. Like, he's very highly drafted in startups right now for like a late first and a, I don't know, first. And if those players do well, then, and assuming that first is from that, that team, then, then you're probably looking at two late firsts for Walker. And that definitely falls for Walker for me very, very strongly, actually. And I'm not even a big, huge, I'm not a big fan of him, but, people seem to just kind of putting him as a workhorse because they don't really have a lot of other players there. And they're always going to be committed to running the ball. So definitely not something to worry about.
And it's funny. I'm not as big a fan of London as most people, but I still would take the players. I'm kind of the opposite of you. I like Walker a little more, but yeah, not London as much, but
I find myself completely having bought into Drake London, which I was not before. Like, I every once in a while, like, I sit and I'm just like, man, those last few games,
I'm not out on them or anything. Like, I'm more in wait and see mood because I wasn't as high on him coming in. Then I was kind of like, okay, I was wrong. And then he had the whole entire middle of the season where he kind of sucked, but the offense sucked too, to be fair, but he didn't produce. And then he had the end of the season, so I'm just kind of like, let's see what happens this year.
Yeah, like I'm kind of buying in which case I'm taking the players here because, yeah, at the 104, you are getting, like you said, you're getting a quarterback or you're getting JSN, which is great. But like we said, at the 111 and the 24 first, the value is great there, but like, we know these two players are at least good. Like, we've seen them both score good fantasy points. And is it worth getting the third QB or, like you said, re-rolling on that first quarterback, wide receiver taken? Maybe, because I really do. JSN is so good. Like, yeah, but like, it's the players, but like, I don't think the value's bad, But like, I see those players, like I saw this trade go down and I instantly like, what can I trade for to just try and get London from this guy right away? And I don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
The things I have to trade, I don't want to trade away. Like it's, I get really screwed when I trade too much. Cause then I end up with T Higgins, Jalen Waddle.
Right, I mean, it's players that you're higher on than others. That's why you traded for them. Away. Right. I mean, if this was like 102, maybe like, eh. If it was 104 and 105, you know, yeah, then I'd be like, maybe. Yeah. But then again, you're kind of re-rolling the dice that you've already kind of come up, you know, with two sixes. Like
you got those. You know what I mean? Why are you trying to do
it? Yeah, exactly. It feels that would be more like trading just the trade, which probably is half the motto of the show. But
we don't poo-poo on it at least.
Yeah.
Oh, but real quick. Oh, hold on first. And that's your trade of the week brought to you by Sleeper Fantasy, the fastest growing fantasy football platform in the world. Join a new dynasty league or migrate yours to their platform and enjoy how easy they make it to manage all your leagues in one place. Join millions of players today on Sleeper, the number one fantasy football platform. Download the app today to get started. We just got an email, by the way, Rock. The trade we talked about in Trade Addicts 1, the 24 first and 25 first for Mixon, the 111, 206, and 24 second. That 111 just got flipped for Derrick Henry and the 308. That feels right. Like, you should get a first for Derrick Henry. It's tough, but I think it's the right move. So, like, I
mean, that's good contending.
This dude's pushing in which case I now like that trade a little better for them.
I mean, I don't know. I like Derrick Henry probably. I mean, players like that, like, that's a player. If I'm winning, it's like a quintessential. I'm competing. Okay, I need Derrick Henry on my team. Like, why not? Right. So, to spend a late first, I would do that pretty much all the time. And you know, you pick up the pieces later. You know, you figure it out later. And I'd rather get the something I know versus maybe I get maybe I take Downs or Flowers and I'm maybe I get a good, really good value out of it. For the future, but I'd rather just have the known production there for sure.
Like Derrick Henry is one of those players where it's just like he will be worth a late first until he's not playing anymore. Like that's the kind of player Derrick Henry is to me. He's that player. It's like Larry Fitzgerald where it's just like I'm never going to say he's done because he's going to play six more years no matter when you say it. And he will be fantasy relevant for as long as he decides to play. Even towards the end when Fitzgerald wasn't doing much, he was still a very solid wide receiver three in a league where we play in, where you're starting 10 players, you need that. Like, it was never the kind of thing where, like, oh, I have to start Larry Fitzgerald. Like, you're never going to be sad you're starting Derrick Henry. Like, it just... So, yeah, I like that. And I love furthering the story. Like, we saw where this was, and now we saw what it's turning into. The next trade we have is the trade we talked about before, where I sort of read it, but didn't really care in the end. So here's the trade. And you'll see quickly which side I got. Matt Stafford and T. Higgins. Well, there you go. For Geno Smith, Brandon Cooks, Darren Waller, and a 24 second. Now, I looked at this, and I was just like, okay, well, Stafford, Geno, Cooks, Waller. I like Waller, but you know what? I really like T. Higgins. Matt Stafford is good. I'm not crying over losing any of these other guys except. Like, I didn't even try and figure out the value of this trade.
Yeah, to me, that's easily the T. Higgins side. Like you said, I like Stafford as a kind of a rebound candidate this year and can finish probably as a low-end QB1 as long as he's healthy, which I think he is. And like you said, the whole other side. I mean, we've talked about Waller. We both kind of like Waller this year as potentially the Giants' top pass catcher. Great
games this year.
Yeah. If he can stay healthy. But I don't put a lot of value. I know Geno's re-signed and everything. I know he had a good year last year. I still don't put a lot of value in Geno Smith. And Brandon Cooks was never valued even when he was younger, and he's now like 30 or whatever it is. So, yeah, I'll take the great young wide receiver and the quarterback that I think could easily outscore Geno this year and next, and maybe the year after that too, and if Geno's even still playing at that point. It's another question, too, that the Seahawks could take a quarterback. I think they have the fifth pick.
Yeah, and, okay, well, I'm beyond fandom at this point. Like, I don't, like, it's cool if the Seahawks win. I don't care anymore. I'm not really a Seahawks fan. It's just easier to talk like I am, because people, even nowadays in the fantasy football community, get really confused when you say you don't root for anybody. Like, I just like watching football and rooting for my fantasy teams. What? Wait, but what's your team? I don't have one.
Well, I think it's also
what's your team?
I mean, I have a couple fantasy buddies who don't have a team, and it's kind of like, you know, if I'm talking about the Eagles and they're like, oh, but you, I'm like, well, you can't really say anything because, like, you don't have the fan, you know, the Eagle fandom.
Just call me Rob Lowe wearing the NFL hat. Like, that's what I am. I can talk about every team because that's what I root for.
Yeah, for this trade, I went back and forth on it a little bit. I don't think it was as much of a slam dunk, I think, as you guys did, but. Like, I'm always a big Stafford fan. If his elbow is good to go, then yeah. But that team's gonna be interesting. They're probably gonna be throwing a lot. A lot of Cooper Kupp stuff gonna happen. Yeah. So I like that side better. I'm optimistic on Cooks in Dallas. And again, like, yeah, his value isn't great. You know, obviously, which players are gonna score the most? Then, you know, I feel that. But yeah.
Okay, and just to further prove that I don't have any real process when it comes to trades. Trade NX 10, you'll easily see which side I was on this one. This one hurt my soul a little bit, even though I got T. Higgins again. Trade NX 10, Daniel Hones, because I can type. Daniel Jones, Amari Cooper, and T. Higgins for Jalen Hurts, Jamal Williams, and Alan Lazard.
See, I thought that was like an inside podcast joke.
I just typing.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting one too, because, like, obviously the best player is Jalen Hurts in this one, but taking Jalen Hurts, breaking him into another good startable quarterback, and then other stuff that can far exceed the other pieces. I don't want to say that Hurts is going to take a step back, but I do feel like, you know, there's potential there for some regression. You know, just as, you know, they say, hey, we need you to stay healthy throughout the season. We don't want you to be, you know, running as much, all those things. You know, the adding more pass catchers, that type of thing. So yeah, I mean, I'm a big Amari Cooper fan. I think Amari is criminally underrated for like getting a full season with a competent quarterback. So yeah, I like the Daniel Jones side here.
I'm the other side. It was pretty easily the Hurts side for
Homer. I was going to yell at one of you. Like, I was hoping I was going
to
get that out.
But also, I had to say, like, that sounds the first part. That sounds like a Dynasty Game Night thing right there. Daniel Hones, Daniel Moans, Daniel. but yeah, even though. I don't really – we always talk about how I don't like to pay up for quarter. I think I would do this for Jalen Hurts if I had all these pieces. Daniel Jones is kind of – he's not Geno Smith level, but he's also not someone that I really have a lot of confidence in going forward. I know he has security. I'm still – and he's got the rushing ability, but – I don't feel confident in Daniel Jones to continue being a QB1 like he was this year. And Amari Cooper's going to get you points this year, but beyond that, who knows? And I love T, but Jalen Hurts is just so good. And maybe it is a little homerism. I'm generally not very homery when it comes to fantasy football, but I think it's more maybe than homerism. It's confirmation bias, because he was a guy I loved going into last year.
Yep.
And the fact that it panned out the way I expected it to, I think it makes me like him even more. So I just think, yeah, he's just – I think he's top three QB, like, for years mm-hmm. and years to come. So I'll take that, because I don't feel like I'm giving up a ton. I mean, T. Higgins is obviously very good and a highly valued asset, but the other two guys are just like whatever to me, and I don't think that's a ton to pay for a quarterback even for me.
I want to start off by saying I agree with everything Rocky just said. Like, I was with him on Jalen Hurts coming into last year. Like he was – I mean, short of Geno Smith, just because I picked him up everywhere when Wilson got hurt. Hurts was one of my most rostered quarterbacks. besides Tua and Cousins, where I don't know how it happened, but I have like 30,000 shares of both of them.
I have so much of both of them too.
I mean, I had Jalen Hurts, but I faded him coming into the year. So I thought he was at QB7 at a moment, and I was like, this is too much. This is too much. He'll be like 12, he'll be like 15, and he'll be great. But yeah, so I'm fine taking the L.
Like, I'm absolutely with everything Rocky just said on Hurts. But he freaking Pewin was coming hard at me for Hurts, and he absolutely can do. Like, this is the thing where I love not putting context to things, because to me it's more fun that way, because no two leagues are the same and no two situations are even completely the same also. So let's try and put values on some guys to where then we can see how we feel about our team and add that to that value. Like, his team's really, 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 really good. He did not win last year, and that's worth saying out loud, because that's what you get. So yeah, he can give up these players, and it's not going to hurt him nearly as much as it would a normal team. And he just added a stud to his team, and no one is questioning Jalen Hurts being a stud. But like, I'm sitting here staring at this, and I also did kind of break it down a little bit like Rocky did, except I do have more faith in Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones was like the QB12 with no one to pass to. Like, yeah, he'll probably rush a little less, but Wandale will be healthy. They just got Darren Waller, so like, hopefully combined with the two of them, they'll get a full season. Hopefully they draft, and hopefully they bring in someone else. Like, he will have pass catchers this year. Like,
I think too, this is the one so far that of all the trades where it's like, I really need to see the teams, because I feel like that kind of puts it all into easy context, because of, you know, like, who's your other quarterbacks? Okay, trading away. Okay, who's the other wide receivers? You know, it's like, there's, I think all the other ones you can just take at face value in a vacuum. I think this one is, and that's how it is when it's a lot of players, different positions, stuff like that. It's, you know, moving within the positions, I think, makes it a lot of a thing. And, you know, we could be discounting Alan Lazard a lot and Jamal Williams with the Saints. Like, I mean, he could have a great year there. So.
No, he won't. Stop it. No way. They're going to be terrible. I do like Daniel Jones. I was in on Daniel Jones coming into last season also. And like, that paid off, not in the way I really imagined it, but it still worked. So I still believe in the guy, especially getting paid. And, you know, Saquon is still there for him to just dump the ball off to. And so, like, I'm a fan. And I agree with Adam with Amari Cooper. Like, that dude is going to score points. He put up a lot of points last year, and now full season, hopefully full off season, Deshaun Watson will be able to shake off some of the rust. And I love Elijah Moore as much as the next guy, but Amari Cooper, I mean, and T. Higgins. I mean, you know, if you want to entice me just to take a trade, you throw him in it. So again, it was one of those things where it's like, look, it sucks, but I think points-wise and value-wise, to me, getting T. Higgins, it was enough for me just to do it. Like, it was just like, I think I need to do this. I think. I'm thinking too much. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah. If you include T. Higgins or Calvin Ridley, you don't have to pay full price in a trade with Russ.
Hurtfully true. And, yeah, like, I took – yeah, no. Which is so that was our last trade. So we're going to move on to listener questions now. And the first one, we have some guy named at Eric John Flynn. And he was joking, because in the tweet I sent out, I pointed out that at Sticky Z, or no, at Adam TZ, who is Sticky Z, won the DLF Family Podcast Dynasty Football League its first year, and was supposed to go on a tour of all of the podcasts.
That's true. That didn't happen.
We were just super lazy and it did not happen. But he's here now. And Eric says, what would he do if he'd have the 102, 103, and 104 in a league like that?
Because I assume that he has those picks.
Eric has the 102, 103, and 104.
I mean, I don't really care about the people down at the, I guess I'd say, at the start of the draft order.
not for this couple years. Does get tied in. We have a question in our chat of Corey. 10-team Superflex League, would it be completely unreasonable to take JSN at the 102 if you also have the 104? I really want JSN, and I think there's a chance he won't fall to the 104. So well,
that's
now,
like, that's good game theory, right? Like, that's a game theory question of, you know, when do I take the different positions? Obviously, you want to look at those teams' rosters. Maybe talk to them a little bit, see where they're at. Maybe they'll give something away that, you know, or maybe they'll try to bluff you a little bit. That's fun part of it. I mean, we're here for fun, right? Like, maybe people want to win money, but I'll take the player that you want before, you know, a quarterback, I assume, is the other part of it. But with like those three picks together, I'll definitely would take JSN and then probably whichever quarterback's left of Stroud. And then take Richardson with the other pick. Just
for fun. That's basically what I was thinking. If you don't have a strong preference on Stroud or Young, then it's easy to just go JSN there. I mean, that's not even a question to me because, unless you think – and I kind of do. I kind of like Stroud fairly significantly more than I do Young at this point. But if you think they're close enough, then you're getting one of them anyway. So, get your guy.
Yeah, what's really funny is I don't know if I like Stroud more or if I'm just so used to saying them in the order of Stroud and Young that I've convinced myself I like Stroud more. So I know value-wise, I will always say draft for value, trade for need. But in this situation, and again, because we play in a league that's for fun, because I don't take this too seriously, I love the idea of going and getting your guy and then just taking who's left at 104 in this specific situation. Because if you don't necessarily care about which quarterback you're getting, but you know you want this guy, and you know there's going to be a quarterback left at 4, why not get your guy and just take the leftovers? I love not making decisions.
And by doing that, I mean, you're basically making that pick the 103.
Yeah, like it's
not even really you know what I mean? Because like you're taking the guy that probably wasn't, well, he thinks he might have, but in most leagues was not going to go in the top three. And then you have to pick two picks later. So you're getting the market 103 anyway.
Yeah, because they're all four players are going to be top four-ish, top four or five picks, depending, because also so much is depending on when Robinson gets drafted. Richardson.
Getting he goes it doesn't one matter. Overall. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But also, it's just, go get your guy, man. Like, I know there's someone yelling at their cassette player or whatever the hell people listen to things on these days. You draft for value. It's bad drafting. It's bad this. Mm-hmm. It's bad game theory. It's bad this. No, I don't care. Yeah. The truth is, you trade back. You go from the 2 to the 3 even. Just get a second on top. Like, get whatever you can. But, man, just like you want JSN that bad, you take JSN. It's not the worst thing in the world. Like, you're not, your team's not going to die because you did that. Yeah. It's fine.
I like that. I like to try to trade back. You're probably not going to get anybody, but if you can. I mean,
he's saying, too, apparently he thinks he might go at 103 because he said there's a chance he won't fall to 104. So if
you trade back,
you might not be getting him. So.
Right. Yeah, that would be brutal.
Trade up to 101 just to make sure you get him. Don't do that. Just really don't do that. If someone takes JSN the 101, you will be sad for about half a second before you realize you're taking Bijan at 102. So, yeah. Oh, man. Like, that's just like I could start. Like, I can't move forward because that idea just got stuck in my head. But I thought that was very interesting. And Eric was clearly just flexing how bad he is at fantasy football.
That's what I got out of it for sure. not bad. Opportunistic.
Yeah. Hard hands. Love you. Next we have at Geronimo Rambles. Okay, so I asked, at the end of every tweet, I always ask like a silly question. I said, what movie quote do you use in your everyday language? And at Geronimo Rambles says, big gulps, huh? All right, see you later. Like, how many beautiful everyday quotes has Dumb and Dumber given us? Like, in the fantasy community, how many times do we throw that? So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, that's a big one. I see that GIF a lot for sure.
That movie just. please discuss why Rocky is not of this planet and the team that made a coaching change that has you rethinking players. What did you do that makes you not of this planet, Rocky?
I think just the things I say on this podcast a lot of the time, especially when it comes to food takes.
Yeah, like you grew up a planet that all they have is chicken fingers and fries.
So. Yeah, and pizza and hamburgers. That's about it.
Yeah. Okay.
You like mayo? Are you a mayo person?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Are you okay with mayo?
No.
See, that's there you go.
See, that's why I did. I'm the worst at food takes. And there's been a couple of movies that have come up that I haven't seen that people like tell me for. So maybe that's part of it, too.
We get yelled at a little later. But also, he doesn't eat tacos or nachos.
I get that.
No, you don't.
I love tacos and nachos, but I kind of understand, I guess, that one.
Is there any coaching changes that actually have you scratching your head? Is there anybody you don't? Is there anybody that you were maybe a little higher on or felt good about, and then a coaching change, and then you're like, ugh.
I mean, I think I think we all think that, you know, every coach is going to get the best out of every player. And that's why, especially new coaches, they're like, hey, you're going to come in and be like, yo, we're going to take Kyler Murray and we're going to, he's going to be, do all the things that make Kyler Murray great versus like, you know, what things that Cliff did. So I don't think there's anyone that really struck me. I definitely would not be super stoked if Gannon was my head coach.
That's the one that I thought.
I think that's the first time I've been, you know, like I said, following football for, you know, not my whole life, but since, you know, a good 2010, 2008, whatever. Like, that's the first time I ever noticed a coach was at the precipice of being fired and hired as a head coach at the exact same time. I've never seen that. I don't remember ever feeling that before where I'm like, this guy sucks. And then he gets hired as a head coach right away. So, yeah, that's one where I'm like, I don't know if, you know, if I'm a Cardinals fan or if their players. There might be some internal turmoil there, but I don't really let the offensive coaching, you know, get too much in my thought process. Maybe less than I should, but, you know, obviously as time goes on, you're like, this guy's going to do this and, you know, whatever. And if you have a strong history, like we talked about Peterson, then maybe. But that's the only one that I think like kind of jumps out at me over this cycle, at least on the offensive side.
I think Eagles fans are more the ones that hated Jonathan Gannon. I think the league is always like Jonathan Gannon. I actually looked at this in the other direction, and Sean Payton is the one that sprang to mind for me immediately.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, and I like Russell Wilson to bounce back anyway, but I like it even more with Sean Payton there, and obviously then that helps Sutton and
Jim. Yeah, I mean, he's somebody, too, who's like, I'm going to get the best out of these players, and that's something he's always done, right? So it's like, I think that's how we all kind of look at the new coaches, too. It's like, this is going to be great, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's Nathaniel Hackett, so.
But in the negative direction, that was actually the first guy that popped in my head, Jonathan Gannon.
Is it just Eagles fans? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm still just negative on Josh McDaniels. I know it's not new, but it's like, can we stop it with this guy already? Like,
for sure. I'm done. I mean, there's so many great coaches. You know,
I guess I was just gonna say. I guess another one in the positive direction for me would probably be Shane Steichen.
Because I
think they're going to draft a quarterback, and especially I think if it is Richardson, that might be his best shot to actually succeed. Is if he gets hooked up with Steichen after what he did with Hurts, and he was with Herbert his rookie year, so there's a really good track record there.
Oh, where were we? Okay, so at OMG, it's JBrew. What do you do if you put players on the trade block? Try to make trades, no one bites. But then when you have to drop them to make room for rookies and or other waiver pickups, etc., they instantly get picked up off waivers. Also, my go-to is gangsters, what's up, guys, from Superbad. Another one. Yeah, like those, like
mine's definitely Anchorman. Anchorman came out right when I was in high school. And it was just like every single for years, every single movie quote was Anchorman over and over and over and over and over again. Still to this day. With that group of friends, like it's the same situation.
Like that, or like 2000 to 2001 area of comedies was just like gold. But then, of course, you're old, like Rocky and I, and we're still quoting Ghostbusters and Princess Bride.
More proud of that. Yeah, I have this problem too. Like at times where I'm like, I don't like my home league is like this because it's like people who aren't like crazy like addicts and degenerates, and it's like pulling teeth to get trades done. And it's really tough because if I want to rebuild, for instance, like I've been dominating the league since it started in like 2015, but like at a certain point, like that the steam runs out and it makes it like disheartening because it's so hard to get multiple firsts. It's so hard to like get people, you know, involved and stuff. So I don't know what I do. I want to know what you guys do.
Well, his question says it's weird to me. Like if you're trying to trade guys who you're then dropping, I don't think most people are going to want to trade for those guys. Like, yeah. I'm not trading for, you know, the Nelson Aguilars of the world or whatever. Yeah.
Because, like, I constantly say I don't read these ahead of time. So, like, that's not where I thought it was going in the end where, you know, I thought this was going to be, like, how do you ignite trade fires and stuff like that. But, like, if people realize you're probably going to drop the guy, like, it's the same thing in the NFL, right? Like, they'll just wait for them to cut players even though they're trying to trade them because – Well, I mean, we don't need to negotiate contracts unless you're in a contract league. But, yeah, I mean, that kind of sucks. Like, at that point, you can't trade guys like that. Like, I'm trying to.
Yeah, I mean, Aguilar was good. So many guys.
I mean, it's hard to trade it's hard to trade like an Adam Thielen, who some people, you know, probably expect to score points this year, but has no future value, let alone a guy that's down low enough that you're going to drop him to waivers. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying?
The thing is, you just have to add them as parts of trades.
Yeah.
Like, that's really all it is. Like, you know, the sweetener of Adam Thielen pushes someone over saying yes.
I got a guy in one of my leagues, and he's like always adding like some random roster clogger, and it makes me go, eh, I don't really want this guy on my roster at all. So can you take off the trash and maybe we'll talk?
But yeah, even like, well, this is the guy I'm going to drop anyway, so now you have to drop him. Not like you have to like get charged for transactions or anything, but it's just like, I don't want that laying on my soul that I got that guy out of a fantasy football job. Where do we go? At Scott Sidlow, as a portfolio dynasty player, thank you for creating the sticky board.
You're welcome.
There you go. We need to say something.
That was awesome. I love that.
Great tool.
I don't know who uses it. I don't know if people still use it, honestly.
Anytime someone says, I swear or swear on, I say, swear to me. Sexiest Batman voice. Yeah, same. But his question, I have my and only pre-NFL draft dynasty draft start. Oh, I have my only pre-NFL draft starting Thursday. Oh, man, mine's Rocky, we have one in 2 weeks. It is incredibly fun. But who are some quote-unquote safer prospects outside of the top guys that I can target in rounds 2 through 6? 35-man rosters with 50 taxi.
Whoa.
Yes, every rookie is rostered. Superflex, 1.75 tight end premium.
Yeah, I mean, I've done four of these already. So I have some experience. You know, I think second round, obviously, like Jalen Hyatt, people like, he's a second rounder in this setup. And then Hendon Hooker is another one.
Yep.
You know, people are like, he's going the first. I think that's just kind of conjecture. But Tajay Spears, another one. Darnell Washington, those are all second rounders. Third round guys that I like, Deuce Vaughn, tiny, but
yes.
Man, is he fun to watch. I mean, I think he'd be one of the shortest, smallest running backs, you know, if he plays like more than some number of years. Darren Sproles, I think he's a little bit smaller than Darren Sproles. But man, I mean, it's so funny because his like prospect pro is like fits through like small creases. And you're like, yes, obviously.
Defensive lineman literally won't be able to.
He's like the most small players that have ever played.
He goes under their legs.
So. Yeah. Always makes me laugh. I like Eric Gray too. Tank Bigsby, we kind of mentioned earlier, is another one. So yeah, I mean, always, it's fun to do those. Sometimes they get a little, they're hilarious to go back and look. I'm looking at the ADP now, so that's kind of why I had them.
I got them. Last year, I got James Cook in the fourth. Now, don't get me wrong, I was never a James Cook fan. It was ridiculous where he ended up getting drafted in dynasty leagues, but still, fourth freaking round.
The quarterback's great too. Like Stenson Bennett, like obviously he's, you know, 37 years old, but you know, that's, I mean, you're getting him in the fourth round of a thing, and he goes to somewhere where there's, you know, some maybe potential to start. I mean, that's what it's you're looking for there. These are fun though. I mean, I like them. I saw someone like saying like, don't talk about them because you're not cool about it. I'm like, I don't know about that, but they're fun to change it up a little bit and kind of go off of just the pure prospects. Though I do think we discount landing spot more than we probably should these days. So they're kind of fun. I actually do one where we split it now. We do two rounds before and then another three rounds after. That's actually really fun because it adds like a whole other level to it. So I love that.
I think this is a great year to do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many decent prospects where, like, if you pick a running back of a player you've heard, like with a name you've heard of, and you're just like a average podcast listener, I think it's safe. Like,
and
the amount of insanely athletic tight ends we have here. And now I know there was a couple last year too, but they're better this year than they were last year. Like, I still have Weidermeyer on a couple of rosters, even though I'm not sure he's on an NFL roster anymore.
Yeah, Washington, Kincaid, both those guys are going to be like.
Yeah, so like, I feel like this is a very good draft for the pre-draft. So like, I don't have any names that are going to be out there for you. Someone I will, I mean, I almost said Denzel. Like, Marcus Mintz, is that his name? I can't
Marvin.
Marvin Mintz.
Yeah.
Yeah. And both the tanks and Puka. You know, first of all, his name is Puka.
Just because of his name.
And he's like 6'3", 220, and that's
yeah.
just
my jam. The Tennessee guy, Cedric Tillman, that's another one where I'm like, yeah, that's going to be somebody who I'm like, every third round, I'm driving Cedric Tillman.
I want to roster Abanacanda just because of his name.
Abanacanda, don't want none.
I had the same. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was very disappointed that Zach named the Dynasty Dummies Hootenanny Abanacanda Forever instead of my props for my hilarious Sir Mix-a-Lot reference.
By the way, in comparison to this year, it was hilarious last year in that league where you got Cook, Malik Willis, not crazily, but Malik Willis at the 102.
Oh, yeah, no,
in that draft. What?
It got worse because at the end of the first.
I was Sam Howell. Yeah, I was going to mention that too. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a funny draft. Yeah. Looking at it after the fact. Yes.
And here's this. Also, how has Rocky never heard of the game 500, considering he's older than me? We have gotten more crap about not knowing this game.
You didn't know it either, right?
All we have ever said.
You didn't know it either, right, Russ?
No.
That's where you throw up the ball, right?
Yeah.
Like apparently, yeah.
No,
we
idea.
Had a game where you kind of, it sounds similar. We just called it kill the man with the ball.
No, that's different.
Yeah.
We had that too, but this is like you, one person's the thrower and you say the number.
Yeah, we never did that in my neighborhood. It never.
No, never.
Like kill the man, but we never played 500.
I didn't play that much off otherwise. Played Jailbreak, a lot of Jailbreak, which is like Manhunt.
No, see, we had a lot of like when we were playing games where we were like, not like dodgeball, but like we're throwing those like red rubber balls mm-hmm. at each other. Like it was, I can't remember what it was called, but it was that something to do with like you threw a ball against the wall, and if it bounced and it hit someone, that person had to run and touch the ball.
Yes, we called it suicide.
Ball. Yes,
that's good. We call it wall ball. I played that in college.
I can't remember what it was. It had some name along the name of like suicide or murder or something like that. And I'm like, yeah. That's not a list of words. I want to just start shouting in the middle of a podcast.
Murder, death ball.
But like that, like that's like, yeah, I never played. And we've gotten yelled at for not knowing what 500 is. It's ridiculous.
Now, apparently, like, up in the Northeast corridor here, it's not as popular or something. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Is this our last question? Yes. At Noob Engineer, getting it right under the gun right before we started recording. I was curious about your takes on Lamar. I have a league where I went all in on this class and I was offered him for my 101 and 109. Or 105, 108, and 112. I was just staring at it blankly and then pretended not to see it when it was offered. So Lamar's still obviously taken above Bijan in a startup right now. Is Lamar worth hunting down in a rebuild? I feel awkward not taking the QB stud in a super flex, but I'm too afraid to pull the trigger. I feel this so hard. We are doing, well, we're in the dregs of our Trade Addicts 11 startup, but like Lamar Jackson chicken started happening. Like around the 107, it's just like we should draft Lamar Jackson, right? No, I'm just going to take Fields. Like, look, we should take Lamar Jackson, right? I'm trading back.
I think I had the 110 or 111, and I was hoping he would fall to me. And then,
like, there's a certain point you do just take him, but like I didn't want to be the. And thankfully, Addison, the one time Addison did something good for me by drafting in front of me was taking Lamar Jackson. And then he takes T. Higgins and Devonta Smith from me. I hate him.
That's the trading back too.
But, like, I don't, like, here's my thing. Is Lamar Jackson worth more than the 101? He absolutely should be. I'm still not doing that trade, the 101 and the 109. Like, I'm keeping those picks. Like, if I'm trading away the 101, I don't want to trade it for one player in general. And if I do, it is not someone I have this feeling about. Like,
no, it's got to be somebody like in the top four quarterbacks, you know,
like especially you're adding to the 101.
Yeah, I was about to say, for one player, 101 and 109. Give me Justin Herbert. Give me Joe Burrow. Like that's what I need for that. Lamar Jackson could be that. Like if this wasn't an issue and we had Lamar Jackson on a not Greg Roman offense anymore, I probably would say, yeah, you take that. But I don't want to play that game. I don't want the headache. I don't want the heartache. I don't want the anxiety.
So if it was just the 101 straight up, you're not doing that?
No. I know it's probably the wrong answer, but I'm still not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, they're right next to each other.
But this next
one. I think I would. Quarterbacks are so hard to come by. You know,
it's well,
so
very good quarterbacks are hard to come by. Quarterbacks are not hard to
come by. Right, that's true. That's a good point. I mean, young, you know, good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Talent, I agree with you that you should do it probably, but I think
the 105, 108, 112. I think I'm definitely taking Lamar.
Yes, there. I was about to say I would trip. I would be sad about losing out on JSN at the 105.
Yeah,
but yeah, the 105, 108, 112. I think I would do that for Lamar, even with way I'm feeling for it now, because the dude's gonna play again. Like, he's not gonna retire.
No, I think the part of the question, I guess, was saying like he's kind of in a rebuild. Does that change it for you? I think that's the kind of what you hope for, is to get like a Lamar type player.
Eventually,
yeah. Yeah, right? It's like, that's what you want. So to
build. I'd see if I could do, like, honestly. Now, this is getting convoluted here. I'll trade back from the 101 and then work that in, because I want to hold on to the 105 in a rebuild. I want JSN on my rebuilding teams. So if I could move back and use that pick, like, imagine if you can get from the 101 to the 104 and still use that pick to entice the Lamar Jackson guy, owner, manager. There you go. Like, that's super win-win for me in that case. Like, you got, you know, assuming you got great value for the 101, you're getting Lamar Jackson, who is really, really, really good. It's just in a really weird situation. But then you're also keeping who I think is a stud wide receiver. And that's what you want in your rebuilds.
Yeah, so, I think I would do the three picks for Lamar in a rebuild, but I would be a little more iffy on it than I think you might be. I never love trading a whole, like, multiple quality assets for one asset in a rebuild.
Especially in a rebuild is where it gets kind of tricky.
Yeah, if I'm a contender, I'm doing that easily. But right. Yeah,
yeah, but like, I mean, you know, if you're gonna do it, he clearly also has multiple more picks. So true. Like, what I always,
true. He's, yeah,
it's not really a joke, but I always make the joke, like, if I have six picks in the first round, I'm trading three and drafting three. Like, so this is more along the lines of what I would do. But
yeah, he just mentioned five. That's true. He just mentioned five different picks as possible parts of a trade.
Oh yeah, that's right. When you put it all together, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So
yeah, actually, now that I think, if I have the 101 and 109 also, then I'm totally sending that, because yeah, I still had two other firsts. I'm a lot looser with my firsts in general if I have like four to five, six of them.
Exactly. Because yeah. you're still doing good for your team in the first, but also you want players you know are good. Like,
that's what I stress too. When you're like, do I take the rookie guys or do I trade for these players? It's like, it's rough to make those.
Just, when you have five, you get to do both.
Just the hit rates. So you just process over results. The process.
That's the thing too. It's like, you know, like you said, like Lamar, like, we know where we're getting. I mean, he's 26, right? Like, he's not really, probably not going where. He's definitely a player that I don't care that he doesn't have an agent. That doesn't bother me at all. I just don't like the Twitter talking about it. You know, it's like, you know, like, I don't want to say he's going down the, like, that pathway of, you know, putting it all out there. I don't think that goes well for, like, most players. So I don't care he doesn't have an agent. I like that he sets a record straight on things, but, like, having the discourse kind of makes me a little nervous for his future.
I think there's been some talk that if he doesn't get an actual deal and he gets, like, just stuck with the franchise tag, that he could consider holding out. Do you worry about, think that's realistic at all? Like, that he doesn't play?
He said he wouldn't. Like, and at this point, he seems like he's holding himself as a man of his word by coming out and saying all of this stuff. Again, this is all insane conjecture.
Yes. Right?
But, like,
that's what we do here.
That's all we can do, especially now in the non-point scoring season. Like, we have zero facts. Like, we're making up everything as we go along. But, like,
I think he ends up playing for the Ravens.
I think so.
I think that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, at one point I thought he was definitely not going to be a Raven. Now I'm leaning more towards he's going to be a Raven. Yeah,
but like, the Ravens kind of screwed themselves over by giving him that tag, because they probably could have gotten more than two firsts by trading him away. But on that tag, they could only get two firsts.
Yeah. And I don't think his asking price is ridiculous. I don't think if he had an agent, it would be a done deal either. I think it just, It's one of the tricky situations. I mean, it's not the first time we've seen it.
I think they can still do a regular trade if they want to.
I think if someone signs him ahead of time,
then it's the two first. But if they agree to a trade, then that team can then give him a new deal after the trade. Obviously, they would have to agree to it beforehand.
I wish I could remember who I heard say that even if it's a sign and trade, they can't do that.
Yeah, I think it's set price by the
rules. And like, I remember hearing that and be like, "Oh wait, I respect this person, so I'm gonna be real."
And the other team has to they get to match, and it's just kind of messy.
No, but yeah. I'm saying like if they trade and then the other team just signs him, like they just. Well, I guess they'd have to sign.
Oh no, so
he's on the tag. Yeah,
I'm just talking about the trade compensation.
Yeah, you can't move his rights to another team without them paying the league approved amount, which is two equal first in value.
Yeah. So yeah, it's gonna be weird, but really good. So that's fine.
Yeah, right. He's so good. Like I think we're kind of like I feel like that's getting kind of lost a little in the just in the space, you know, of like people talking about it. It's like yeah, he's really good.
Also, like I also will say, yes, this has gone in very weird directions, but I am still all for these players getting every penny they can, and especially guaranteed money, because yes, in a perfect world where both sides go in on equal footing. We should be respecting the contracts we sign. Absolutely. But these contracts are so slanted for the teams that, yes, players should be able to, and especially players of his level. And it's like, oh, well, he gets hurt, so he shouldn't get a fully guaranteed contract. No, he's putting his body out there, getting hurt that often. That's why he should get a fully guaranteed contract.
For sure. And I see it, but I take it both ways. I'm like, yeah, okay, this guy is getting paid $200 million. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, no, like he is. He's going to get CTE, his license, but you just made $200 million. But at the same time, I'm like, he deserves $200 million. Like, he's putting it all out there. Like, it's hazard pay. And, you know, and so few people can do it. So I constantly I'm like, dude, 3% from my agent. But then, you know, the agents don't, at least they feel, someone like him or people who don't have agents kind of feel like they're not doing the best for me. And, like, totally good. If that's what you think, then make it happen on your own. And there's no rush, too, either. And I think even, like, the Jets could be, like, involved. And picking him up, you know, just to bring the whole podcast full circle.
Yeah, right. But it also will get weird if it goes past the draft because then we're talking future picks.
Right.
But two things before we head out of here, because there's two things I want to say from the chat. FF Trader Joe says, I took Pitts at the 102 when I had the 104. Knew I'd get Lance or Fields at the 104. Like, there. First of all, if Joe did it, you know it's a good move because Joe is very good at this game and just a darling of a human being. But like, yes, you want that player. You want to make sure you're getting that player. And in a very similar situation when there was three QBs up top, like, well, there was four. Like, it's like you knew you were getting one of those quarterbacks. So, yeah, go do that. Absolutely. Especially when you don't care which one you're getting. It makes sense to make sure you're getting the guy you know you want. So I like that. And then we have one more from Corey. In a rebuilding team, he's thinking of offering this to a competitor. Stafford and Debo for Lance, Hollywood, and a 25 first.
I am not a Trey Lance fan at all.
So. In a rebuilding team, I love the swing on it, though.
That's true. The youth and all that stuff's good. Hollywood and the future is good. I don't know. I feel like I'd wait for Stafford to play, Debo, these guys to play, and maybe you can get some more out of them. I'm just not a Lance fan.
It's very team dependent, but I think I would prefer the Lance Hollywood and 25 first side.
Yeah, like I think it's a little weak of an offer for Lance Hollywood in the first. And I know 25 is far out, true. But it's the first. Like I know, like I've tried to get better at what I trade my 2 year first out for, because usually I'm that guy that sends it away the second they pop up. I'm like, I don't care. 25. I'm not going to be alive in 25. So what's the you know, like one of those things. But like I'm trying to get better about what I do with it. So, like, I try and remember myself a first is a first. It'll still gain a whole lot of value, even in a couple of weeks if you want to trade it away then. You're trading away two guys that are really, really hard to trade away in Stafford and Debo. Don't get me wrong. Send it. Like, you're not overpaying if you get the other side. So, if it goes, it goes. That's awesome. But, like, I think you can go a little stronger and still be okay. Like, even if you wanted to throw a second-round pick, even though you are rebuilding, it'll make this other guy feel better that they're getting a little bit of youth, even though they're taking in all of this age. Of course.
Yeah. I don't know who's out there, like, who either drafted Trey Lance or been holding Trey Lance this whole time, who's like was ready to jettison him off for a little bit less, I think, than, you know, that's somebody that you've been holding this whole time for a reason. Yeah. So, and right, it's like around the corner. Of course, yeah. We say that for every player that's like young and injured, but it's like, okay, you know, the value's going to come. The value's going to come. So I don't know if it's time really to jettison him if you had him.
And like to tie this back to what we've talked about a few times in this show, you should be doing this for fun. So if you're in a league where people aren't jerks and like, how dare you send me this trash? I hate you. Blah, blah, blah. Like, so send the offer. If they reject it, they reject it. Add more to it later. Like that, if you're in a league
within reason,
it's angry about trade offers, either leave the league or you kick them out. You don't need negativity in your life.
I think too, we all remember, like, there's another human being over there, right? Respect, you know, them as well. And it's like, you don't try to be like, I get 101 for, you know, Nelson Agholor and, you know, I'm sending you 27 seconds. And it's fair value. Just let's all remember that.
Everyone's yeah, we calculator. It's even on the calculator.
it goes both ways for sure.
Yes. Well, okay. Yes. In a respectful level, like this isn't something that someone will look at and be like, what do you think? I'm an idiot.
Well, like, it's just a trade. It's about where, like, would I accept that? If someone said that to me, would I accept that? That's how I look at it. Like, I'm not going to send somebody something that they sent to me, I would be disgusted by, because what's the point, right? You know, so, but maybe I'm
even still, like we joke about it a lot on this show about the kind of offers I send. And I do send a lot of a lot of the time it's not on purpose. A lot of the times I'm sitting there clicking buttons. I'm like, yeah, this is a good offer. And then I see the reject email. I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? Like, what? Like, it literally, like, I don't know what I was thinking when I did it. And sometimes I legitimately just miss
clicking. You just like clicking the button. You
know, I do. Yeah. I love it. Click, it's click, really click, a problem. Click. Like, yeah. I literally say, I don't know. I'm just clicking buttons. What do you think? but like, it's so silly at this point in the world, like, to get upset about a fantasy football trade offer. True. That. Just, you know, like, don't overthink it. Like, right, like, looking at Stafford and Deebo for Lance Hollywood in a first, like, I don't think you look at that and think you're overpaying by giving up Stafford and Deebo. So give it a shot. Worst comes to worst, if you have the kind of league where people talk about things, which I prefer, you can find out what you need to add. And if you're cool with that, you add it. If you don't, you don't. Or if they just straight reject it, you throw a second in there. If they straight reject it, wait a couple of weeks and send it again and see how they feel. You know, like,
I'm big too about I'll send an offer, a cold offer, and then open up a, you know, DM or whatever and be like, hey, I sent you an offer, let me know what you think, or whatever. And you know, if you can get to them before they hit the reject, usually you can either make something happen or at least you find out. And they say, hey, I don't really like Deebo, I'm trying to keep Lance, you know. Yeah. It's like, at least you know where they're coming from versus, you know, people just, you know, auto rejecting you.
All right, but on that note, that is the end of our show sheet and stuff in the chat. So that is the end of our show. Adam, Sticky Z, thank you for coming on. It's been way past due, apparently, because I thought you've been on the show before. but before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
I'm at Adam TZ. I tweet sometimes. I do stuff. I write some articles sometimes. I'm having a good time out here. I'm on a podcast sometimes. It's a good hobby. That's me.
All right. Our side, we have patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. Where you can join us in the chat, watch us as we stream, and watch me jam out to the Sleeper Trade of the Week song every single time and ask some questions that if I feel like answering, we'll answer. So deal with it. Also, you can join our awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. And we still have ffpodshirts.storenv.com where, I mean, the clock is ticking to SFB13. So if there's still some SFB12 stuff you want, you're losing your time because, oh man, it was... Did you see some of the logos that have been getting tweeted out from its food and drink and restaurants, by the way? There are literally over 100 fantastic logos out. Like, I am going to be broke when the shop gets updated. Like, it's not going to be good for my family. Like,
that's a great theme.
Really. And like, they...
I'll have a very specific few divisions that I could be in if I make it this
far. there will be a chicken fingers division, don't worry. But like, there's like, I did zero this year, but like the guys killed it with their designs. It's so good. I'm very much looking forward. But yes, everything you buy from ffpodshirts.storenv.com, every single penny goes straight to Fantasy Cares. So you get some cool stuff. The kids get some cool stuff for the holidays. Everybody wins. And I lose tonight because I have to go write an article I completely forgot I had to write. So I'm not going to bed anytime soon. But still, night, everybody.
Night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants, that is the best. See ya.